Hello there. My name is Bill Dauday, and I have been diagnosed with ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, more commonly known as Lou Gehrig disease. You may be a friend of mine or an acquaintance or even a fellow ALS patient. I do not know, but what I would like to relate here is something that is very relevant to me, and it quite likely might be relevant to you as well. The medical part of my journey started in Houston, Texas, where I live. There I have received excellent treatment and medical help as far as the physical aspects of ALS from the doctors around where I live. But as each of you know who have ALS or a disease like ALS, there's a part that seldom gets talked about by the doctors, and that is how to deal with the quiet moments alone with your own body that's heading toward a premature meeting with death. Not something a lot of people like to talk about, but it's something that we think about. In my life, I'm very thankful that I've been surrounded by people who have not been shy about discussing this issue as openly as I talk about this disease with my doctors. And their openness was really a very refreshing thing for me. Therefore, what I tend to do here is offer what I've found about the question that never goes away. First of all, I'd like to tell you a bit about my background on myself and how I decided to even make this recording. My background is that I've probably had this disease well over 2 years now. I became aware of the onset of the disease around the middle of 2010 when I injured my right foot while walking into a local restaurant for dinner. During that walk, something that I had not noticed before caused me to not properly lift my right foot when I was walking, and it caused me to kick a very short curb. In the months that followed that seemingly minor incident, I began to notice that the injury to my foot and even my leg was now causing me noticeable problems in my walking. After extensive testing and probing by various forms of doctors, it was confirmed I did have ALS. At the same time, I was also told there was no cure for ALS. Didn't really seem like we've gone very far, does it, from old Lou Gehrig when he was playing baseball with the Yankees. Though many kind people came over and told me of friends they had known that had lived 15 plus years with ALS, but in reality, most just lived 3 to 5 years. In a matter of about 8 months, I went from limping to a cane, to two canes, to a three-wheel walker, to a wheelchair, to a motorized wheelchair. My life had really changed a lot in a short period of time. Then one morning before church, I was sitting watching the TV program Sunday Morning. And one of the feature stories that day had to do with a prominent doctor who had spent his life treating and seeking a cure for ALS. This man had just died, and the surprising thing to me was that he died of ALS, which he contracted late in life. During the program, they showed clips of how this doctor communicated with people after the disease had taken his voice muscles. He had pre-recorded many responses and phrases. He entered them into a laptop computer so that with a flick of his finger he could make short little speaking phrases to those that came to visit him. Knowing that I had the same possibility of not being able to talk, I thought to myself, what would I really like to do is to really leave a bit more than just phrases and replies for when that time came for me. I wanted to leave something that had to do with the most important concepts that I held dear and the things that I have learned over the years of my life. Obviously, I couldn't personally impact my disease other than doing what the doctors told me, but maybe I could the aftermath. So I decided to record a short note here for me to friends and to fellow patients in the form of this recording that I could give to them that would convey these most important things that I found on my journey. As I thought about that, I immediately settled upon the biggest obstacle that my mind had dealt with over the years and decided to record this while I still had a portion of my voice. What I had grappled with most in life was what was going to matter most to me a few seconds after I take my last breath here on Earth. I know that we all face that prospect, but when it's thrust right into your life through no reason of your own, it takes a much different priority in your thinking. When through the years the subject came up in discussions, I always found that people had very diverse ideas of what was going to happen to them when they died. Not that I was any better than the next guy, but I did want to get it right the first time because I felt there wasn't going to be a second chance at this thing. Early on, when I started looking into the issue, I felt the best resource would be to seek out what God Himself said about the issue. And what astounded me was how clearly He said it. So for the sake of this recording, I'm going to relate what I found that God put right in front of us so that we can know an answer to that issue. If you stick with me, I'll try to be brief, and I'll try to relate what I found that gives me absolute peace now as I approach my last breath. First thing I found was that God offered us eternal life. It's found in the Bible. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who has not the Son of God has not life. Well, I can't say as I felt any differently than anyone else. Eternal life was something that looked pretty good as far as being promised. And I understand that it had to do with Jesus Christ and his life. But I also found that the Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, which made me feel like we've all failed to maybe reach up to that eternal life. And then to compound that, you find that the wages of sin, or the penalty, if you will, of death, is death. That's talking about an eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So in that little single verse there, I found that he speaks of the death of man, and he also tells us of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Seemingly very difficult to understand. I also found that I couldn't work my way into heaven. A lot of people like to go out and do things, give money. If you will, throw yourself upon the court. I've heard people say that to me. But he says, not by works of righteousness on our part, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. And that event was recorded as God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, as I pieced all these verses together in my mind over the years, I used to record them and kind of put them away in my memory, try to memorize them. But the one where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except by me. That was a very defining verse as I listened to it. And I found that it's going to have nothing to do with what I have to do in life. Because every person, as I understand this, is already paid in full for having eternal life, because Jesus died for everyone. But it says, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So I have found in my short life, it seems short now as you look back at it, but God loved each of us enough to offer his son in our place, and all we had to do was come to him and ask him to come into our life and forgive us. It seemed almost too easy. It seemed too easy, but my big hang-up as I look back upon it was that there's a difference between knowing Jesus Christ as a historical person and knowing Jesus Christ personally. And I made that decision some time ago, and I decided I was going to make this thing a personal thing and get to know him. So when I approached God, I didn't quite know how to do it. There wasn't anybody leading me on how to talk to him. The essence of what I said was, I know I've sinned, Father, and it separated us. Your Bible tells me that. And I'd like to confess the sin I have and ask for your forgiveness. I want to really thank you for dying for me on the cross. And I want to ask you to come into my life and be my guide and my Lord. You know, if each of you have stuck with me, something I'd like to say is that no one has ever really offered you a gift in your entire life, or ever will, that is better than what God is offering you right now. You couldn't do better with a lottery, and I'm pretty sure you couldn't do any better, even if you live forever, on your own. So, if some of you are still listening there, and I'm still here on the earth, some of you may be listening, and I may be gone. But I recommend to you that you listen very seriously about what is said here, because he's not only spoken it to me, he's spoken it to you, and you can act upon it on your own.